Okay, welcome everybody to the May Queen's Club Masterclass. For all of you who are brand new to Queen's Club, we do this every month. Betsy and I rotate. And what we do is we take the concept for the month that we're studying and we take it just a little bit deeper here in the Queen's Club and apply it in a little bit of a different way. So I will have a quick presentation for you. Then I'll coach a couple of you, if you want, on this topic. If you have questions during the presentation, you can use your Q&A box and I'll see your questions. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, you can use the chat box. I may also ask for a little audience participation, which is always fun. And if I do that, you can also use the chat box. Be sure you have clicked all panelists and attendees so that everybody sees your answers. All right, so I am going to share screens here. Let's see if I can get this to work exactly like I want it to. Let's see. All right, you should see my super cool Queen's Club Masterclass keynote. It says accepting your body's changes. I am trying to find my mouse so that I can open the chat. Perfect. All right. Ready. Everybody can see everything, right? Okay. So as we talked about self-love and we talked about the Queen's Club, we decided it would be really great to talk to you guys about how you look at your body and think about your body as it changes, as you lose the weight. Okay? Where's my mouse? All right. We're all unique. This is not a surprise to anyone, I'm sure. But our bodies are all unique to us. They react in ways that are individual to our composition and our DNA. This has happened our whole lives. Everybody's shape changes in different ways. So some people get big chested, other people's don't. Some carry weight in their upper body, some in their hips. We're all shaped differently, have different skin types, different hair color, and more. The way we put on weight is individual to us, and the way we lose weight is individual to us. The ways our bodies adapt to weight loss are just as unique. When I lost my weight, I melted like an ice cream cone from the shoulders down. I was kind of frustrated at first. I was like, how come I lost all this weight here in my shoulders and through my chest, but my hips are still big? But that's just the way I did. Some lose it first in their legs, but keep weight in their midsection. Others never gain weight in their face, while some get puffy really fast. So you might type in the chat some of the ways your body has changed as you've lost weight. Okay, what are some of the differences you've seen? You know, like I said, I lost it from the shoulders down. How are you guys noticing your weight loss? Trisha's face is thinner. Diana gains and loses in her stomach first. Another face. Legs are smaller. Boobs are smaller. Yeah, I had the boobs smaller first, real quick. Face and chest disappears first. Ice cream cone. Good. So you see, everybody is different, right? So here's some of the common thoughts that we have. That we as coaches see that trip our clients up as they lose weight. I keep seeing the old me. How many of you have looked in the mirror and not really seen your weight loss, right? What's happening is called cognitive dissonance. That means your brain wants to keep on believing what it's practiced at believing, even when there's evidence to the contrary. It's easier to think and believe things that you've always thought and believed. You see yourself as a size 18 because that's what your brain is used to looking at. The size 18 you is the belief you've had for a while. You have to be willing to prove that your brain's belief is wrong. You aren't an 18 anymore, and you have to be willing to look for evidence to convince yourself that your brain is wrong. Looking at old pictures is one way. Holding up an old pair of pants is another. I don't know about y'all, but I kept one pair of pants. And every time I thought, I'm not doing any good here at all, I would get out that pair of pants and I'd say, oh yeah, look at these. The most important way of doing this, though, is to call BS on the thoughts you are thinking. If you've lost 25 pounds, you don't look the same, right? You can put that in the C line. But when you see a thought creep in, you intentionally look for something that's changed in order to prove that thought wrong. Next thought. My body doesn't look like I thought it would. Here's what's happening here. You have a preconceived idea of what you want your body to look like or what you think your body should look like. Usually it's an idea of how our bodies looked before we gained our weight. It might even be tainted with a little bit of compare. I thought I'd have legs like hers. Or my collarbones don't pop like theirs do. This is where we live in a world where we don't accept our own bodies and we want them to be something else, right? You might have loose skin, a hysterectomy pouch like me, wrinkles, stretch marks. These are all things that Barbie dolls don't have, so why do we, right? These are the things we start to notice as we lose weight. Here's another thought. I don't like the attention I'm getting. Or I'm afraid of the attention I will get. Here's what's happening with this one. You've created a fear of judgment. And some of you have created a fear of being noticed. When you begin to worry about what others are thinking about you, you are actually worried about what you think about yourself. Are you really afraid of attention, or are you worried about what others will think or say? I coached a girl once on being noticed. She talked about how she went into a takeout place in her workout clothes. And she walked up to like the bar area where she picked up her takeout. And, you know, some guy was standing there and he said, hey, you know, you look pretty good. And she immediately went to, oh my gosh, he noticed me. You know, and she was a little like taken aback and a little afraid. And I said, well, his saying that didn't make you afraid. It was your thought about it that said that. So I want you all to think about Corinne walking into pick up takeout at a bar in her workout clothes. And somebody looks at her and says, hey, you know, you look good. What do you think she's going to say? She's going to go, yeah, of course I do. I worked hard for this. So attention is defined by you, as is your response. See the difference? Now, do you guys have any other thoughts to add? Things that you think as you're losing weight that you might want to up-level? You know, you can post them in the chat if you'd like. Is there anything else other than, I don't like the attention, I keep seeing the old me, I don't look like I thought I would look. I think that was mine, that I don't look like I thought I would look. But of course, you know, when I lost my weight, I was like 48 years old. When I gained it, I was like 18. Of course, I didn't look like I was going to look or look like I thought I would look. Diana says, I'm not losing weight fast enough. That's an interesting thought. That's a judgment, right? It's a judgment on how you're progressing. And it's self-judgment. Anybody else? She says, yep, yep. All right, I don't see any others. So we'll go on. So now, okay, somebody says, I can't believe how loose my skin is. Yeah, well, some of us do end up with loose skin. I have loose skin. But you know what? My thought about my loose skin is, I'd rather it be a little loose than filled with, you know, the weight. So there you go. All right, let's move on to how to change these thoughts. This, I love this this series of concepts here. This is so cool. So it's a three-step process. The first step is to raise your self-awareness. The second step is to meet yourself where you are with compassion. And the third step is to find your own inner wisdom. So the first thing we want to do is think about the difference between a thought, a belief, and a truth. A thought is a sentence in your mind. That's all it is. It's just one sentence. It's something you tell yourself, and you get to decide if it's meaningful or not. Thoughts might be, I wonder if I can lose this weight. My legs are ugly. You might see a theme here on the legs, right? A belief is a practiced group of thoughts. Okay, one might be, I've never lost weight before. Now's probably no different. Right? So you're calling on all those other times you tried to lose weight and it didn't work. So you've got a whole group of thoughts here that have created a belief that you'll, you know, probably never lose the weight. Another belief might be, my legs have always been ugly. That's where I carry my weight. I have loose skin and I look terrible in shorts. Then a truth is a thought you believe so strongly that you think it's a fact. And one of those might be, it's obvious I'll never lose this weight, or I'll never have good-looking legs. Okay? So let's talk about raising your self-awareness first. Here's what you do to start really hearing what you're thinking. You listen to the things you say to yourself about your body. Look at those wrinkles. My belly sags. I hate the way I look. I thought I'd look better. All those little thoughts that run through your head, you just start to hear them. As you replay these stories over and over, they begin to sound like truths. They begin to feel like they're real instead of just sentences replaying in our minds. John Maxwell says in his book, The 15 Laws of Invaluable Growth, you have to know yourself to grow yourself. Which means you have to hear your inner dialogue. You have to pay attention to it and start looking for the impact it has on you. So one of my first, I tell this story quite a bit, but one of my first really big light bulb awareness about my negative self-talk and my negative body talk was at camp about 2 years ago. I was sharing a room with Corinne and Coach Jane. Some of you know Coach Jane. She's still in the tribe. She doesn't coach anymore, but she was my coach as I was losing my weight. And we were all in the bathroom and I was drying my hair and I didn't have my glasses on. And I, did the best I could, but I was far away from the mirror and, you know, I fixed my hair up and I got my face in the mirror before I put my glasses on. I said, well, I wonder how bad I did. And I heard myself say that, and I turned around, and Corinne and Jane are looking at me like, what did you just say? And then I went out and got dressed and was trying to, you know, figure out what clothes to wear, and I was like, oh my gosh, this looks awful. I can't believe I brought this. And they looked at me again, and I said, I just said that in front of both of you, didn't I? And they were like, yes. But that was when the awareness really, really hit me about the way I talked about myself and about my body. And this is the awareness that you have to gain in order to see your own negative spins in your brain. But once you start to see them, you begin to see the effect of your thinking on your feelings and your actions. So, back to talking about my hair that day with Corinne and Jane. What if my hair actually looked fabulous and somebody told me so? I had already decided it must be a mess because I couldn't see it when I fixed it, right? So I had received some unwanted comment, and I'm calling it unwanted because I didn't believe it, and I reacted poorly. So how do you create this awareness of what you're saying and thinking? You either talk in front of a coach because they'll point it out to you really quick. or you TDL and then you read it with an open mind, without judgment. You look at the sentences in your TDL as choices. That's right. The sentences are the thoughts in your thought download, and they are all choices. You decide if they are choosable thoughts or observations. And then you see the BS thought and want to change it immediately. You think, I shouldn't think that. That's horrible. Here's what I should think instead. But then the new thought doesn't seem real. So what should you do instead is take a minute to take ownership of the thought. Yeah, I really did say that. I really did think that. And that's the next step, acceptance. So acceptance is a step where you see your thoughts, you understand that you're thinking them, and you think them with an open mind, with compassion. This is the part you can't skip. Okay? You have to enter this phase intentionally. It's the one that most people want to just skip because they don't realize how important it is. I look at the thought and I really see the result it creates. So back to my thought about my hair. Let me see how bad this looks. Right? The feeling was insecure. The action was I questioned myself, I beat myself up, and I probably compared my hair to somebody else's. And the result was that I never lived up to my potential, my hair potential, my thought potential, my anything potential, right? This is where you gin up compassion. You see the effect of your thought without changing it. Who really wants to live in insecurity, questioning themselves and comparing all the time, right? That feels terrible. Y'all know who Brooke Castillo is, Life Coach School. She would say, be in the space with your truth. That's an interesting way to say that, right? Sit in the space with your thought. You own it and understand why you're thinking it. Is it practiced? Is it a well-cultivated belief? You really can't take authority over it, meaning you can't bust the belief until you own the thought. Here's the difference. My mama always said I'd be too fat is a belief you don't own. I have always thought I'd be fat is a belief you own. This is where you become your own coach. I love this concept. It's called the compassionate observer, your own best friend. You hold the space for yourself and watch yourself react. What that means is, you kind of step outside yourself and you watch how your brain reacts. You know, you're a watcher. You're without judgment. It's like having Kathy on your shoulder. You just watch. You watch without judgment. Doing this brings a place of peace. So here's how I'd sum up acceptance. If you want to change and grow, then you must know yourself and accept who you are and how you talk to yourself before you can start building and changing. Become conscious of every choice you make about what you tell yourself about your body. If this isn't ultimately how you want to feel about it, think about what your future self is saying. Does your future self want to live in insecurity land? Or does she want to feel good about her choices and her world? If you accept that you are human doing the best you can right now, it opens the door to wisdom where you can begin the assessing believable thoughts and elicit change. Find your own inner wisdom. Once you have fully owned what you're thinking, and you're not judging yourself for thinking it, you can choose to up-level your thought to something different from a peaceful, compassionate place. You're not rejecting the thoughts you currently have. In fact, you're acknowledging them and their existence. You know they'll likely pop back up now and then, and that's okay. You see them and you decide they don't have to land. I love this visual. Picture yourself sitting in your car in a fast food parking lot. You see your thought drive in, circle the restaurant, start to park, and you just tell it to keep on going. And you tell it to exit the lot, and it drives right off. That's what you can do once you see the thoughts you don't want to think without judgment. You just show them the exit. Another good visual is to wrap them in a thought bubble, like above your head, and watch them float away like a cloud. You've acknowledged that they're there. You know you're going to think them. You just don't let them drive the bus, right? If you want to feel better right this second, then you have not fully accepted the negative thoughts and you want to change out of failure or bad emotions. You might say things like this: "This sucks and I don't want to feel this way," or "I'm so stupid for thinking this way," or "I better do something or I'll be a failure, fat, bad person if I don't do these things." "I don't know why I feel this way, but I need to change it." Change only comes when it comes from a place of peace and true acceptance. You will not be able to make a wise decision if you haven't gone through acceptance. Acceptance creates the opportunity to change the thought rather than resist the thought. I could say, "Maybe my hair looks pretty good today." Or I could say, "These are my legs and this is how they're made." Okay, so let's put all this together now. We'll sum it up. If you don't acknowledge that you have genuine value and that your body is worth investing in, then you won't put forth the effort needed to lose your weight and grow your potential. Remember that John Maxwell quote: "You must see value in yourself to add value to yourself." So, step one again, really listen to how you talk to yourself. If you are constantly negative about your body, what kind of result do you think you're going to get? A big part of this is stopping comparing yourself to others. The only real comparison is to yourself. I have an example of this too. So we talked about Jane for a minute. She was my coach. She helped teach me how to run. And I kept comparing myself to my friends who I was running with. I was always the slowest one, y'all. Always. And I kept, you know, getting upset because I was always the last one in. But comparing myself to them got me nowhere. It only got me upset. No body acceptance, no Kathy acceptance, no running acceptance. But when I started comparing myself to me and seeing if I could run just a little bit faster than last time, that was so much better. You know, it's like comparing apples to apples. That led me to feeling victory. Number two, own that these are your thoughts. Big letters, thoughts. Just the sentences in your mind, and don't judge yourself for thinking them. If you accept that 50% of your life you're going to be in emotional pain, you're going to have negative thoughts, and that's part of the process of living and evolving, then you'll always keep moving forward. Number three, doing the work to create and believe the thoughts you want to think. Begin imagining what those thoughts could be. So go back to your original thought. Are you willing to allow yourself to sit with this thought? Are you willing to allow the feelings associated with it? Are you ready to fully feel that feeling move through your body and allow wisdom to work for you? If you answered yes from a place of peace, then let's look at a few ways to approach change, especially with regard to your body. But we're only going to do this, right, from a place of peace and acceptance. One of my favorite things to talk about, y'all, is gratitude. So this is what I'm going to offer you as the next step. Once you level up your thoughts about your body, you can create a place to feel gratitude for your body and for its changes. Gratitude is defined as a readiness to show appreciation and return kindness I love that. I get goosebumps just thinking about that. Return kindness. How do you return kindness to your body? Give me some ideas in the chat. How can you return kindness to your body? I'm going to see if anybody has the idea I have. So post them up. Drink water. Good. Long walk. Sleep. What else you got? Moisturize. That's pretty close to what I have. What else you got? Eating 2 to 2. Perfect. Eating real food, journaling, long hot baths, positive self-talk, massage, honor it, spa day. Tell myself 3 things I love about me every day. These are great, y'all. Go to the doctor when you should. Beautiful, Tina. How about dressing it in clothes that fit? Oh yeah, there we go. Dress nicely in grooming, yoga, self-care. Yes, perfect. Jazzercise. Those are all great ideas. Great ways to show your body how much you appreciate it for everything it does every day, right? So I'm going to suggest a gratitude practice. And all of these things can be in your gratitude practice. Finding gratitude can be hard when you think life is hard. When things happen that we don't expect or don't like, it's easy to feel resentment and self-pity. But working to cultivate gratitude counteracts those negative feelings. Gratitude has been scientifically shown to have physical as well as emotional benefits. I put this all on the same slide because I thought it was so powerful. It's impossible to be both grateful and resentful at the same time. Isn't that amazing to think about? It's impossible to be both grateful and resentful at the same time. Yeah, Stephanie says, mic drop. That's what I thought. I heard that in a yoga class one time and I was like, oh dude, I could put that in my master class. So here's how we create a gratitude practice. Some suggestions. Think about 1 thing you're grateful for right when you wake up about your body. Oop, there's a typo, sorry. And right before you go to bed. Begin a gratitude journal. 3 things you're grateful for every single day. Specifically in this class about your body, but it can be anything. Ask your tribe sisters how they practice gratitude. Somebody start a Facebook post. What are some of the things other people are doing to practice gratitude about their body? And now I'm going to tell you about my friend Amber. She was at January camp, I believe. She had the most beautiful gratitude practice for her body. She lotions every day, her whole body. And as she lotions each individual piece, like an arm or a leg, she thanks it for all that she's done. So she will lotion her arm and she'll say, thank you for helping me carry in the groceries. Thank you for having my hand at the end of, you know, whatever. Thank you. She'll thank it specifically for some of the beautiful things it does for her every single day as she lotions it. So she's touching her body with the lotion. She's returning kindness with the lotion and she's thanking it the whole body every day. And I just thought that was such a beautiful way to show the acceptance she has for her body today and as she loses weight. So think about that. That was just, I just thought that was amazing. All right, one more slide. So Melanie Beatty writes self-help books, self-development books. And this is part of her quote on the slide. I'm going to read the whole thing for you. She says, gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion into clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of your past, brings you peace for today, and creates your vision for tomorrow. That's pretty cool, right? All right, we will move to Q&A and coaching as soon as I can figure out how to turn the PowerPoint off, the keynote off. Let's see. Am I back? Hi, everybody. All right. So let's do a little bit of coaching. I'm going to turn the chat off. If you guys have any questions, feel free to put them in the Q&A. And let's see. Stephanie has her hand raised. Well, hi, Stephanie. Hang on. You are muted. Let's see if we can
unmute. Must have done something.
There you are. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I didn't realize I had my hand raised. I didn't have anything.
Oh, so okay. Do you want to coach or do you want me to move you back to panelist?
Well, no. I think that this has been a topic you've worked with me many times, and in the Queen's Club this month, I was doing the headshots for the selfies, and I was finding something good every day. And then I took some pictures of full body shots, and I was really surprised at what a difference seeing those compared to just the selfies, maybe the first 10 days of just the headshots. And you answered a lot with what you had said, but I was wondering, how do you gradually work from the positivity you can have from the neck up to the realization of when you see your whole body there in the mirror and you go completely negative that quickly?
That's going to happen, right? Because that's your practice. You have to start with the awareness piece. Okay, this is what I just said to myself. Is this really how I want to talk to myself? Right? Mm-hmm. And then just like you did with your headshot and your face, you just work your way through the process of acceptance that this is what I'm saying. And then deciding if this is really what the results that you want to create. I would work some models. What do you, for instance, tell me, give me a thought that you have when you have your full body.
First thought, it's awful, but
okay,
I'm disgusting.
It's awful. I'm disgusting. Okay, that's your thought line. What feeling comes up when you say I'm disgusting?
Sadness.
Okay. All right. And when you're sad about your body, what do you do?
I get I don't always turn to the food now. I do better with that, but I get in such a funk. Mm-hmm. It can turn into a couple days funk, you know, just very depressed, very sad, very.
Okay. You probably don't get in front of a mirror again, right? You hide.
Now, I did for the challenge though. I did the next day, but no, you're right.
Do you put on form fitting clothes, clothes that fit, or do you put on baggy clothes?
I think they're not tight by any means, but they're not baggy. They're not, you know, too big or anything like that.
Okay. So when you sit in your sadness, which is in your action line, and you hide from yourself, the results you create are that you're not improving anything about your body.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So once you see that whole model and you accept that's the model you're living, you get to decide without judgment whether or not that's the model you want to live. And if that's not the model you want to live, then you go back up to that thought and you say, am I really disgusting? Is that really the truth? Or is that just a knee-jerk reaction to seeing my body in its transitional phase? Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's once you accept it from that place of compassion, or that place of peace, that's what you're thinking, then you can say, what's the next thing I can say about my body? You know, what can I say that's positive? you know, it's a body that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. It's a body that I love. It's a body that I'm grateful for. You see?
Mm-hmm.
See how you just have to slow the process down. If you go straight to, I really shouldn't think my body's disgusting, I have to change that thought, then the new thought's not going to stick.
Right.
Right? You have to work your way into it slowly.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes. Yes. Your home class did. That's why I was making sure I was here to see it. So
good. I'm glad it did. It's good to see you.
Nice to see you too.
You got anything else?
You.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else want to talk to me tonight? I'm going to see what's in this Q&A while y'all are thinking. Then you can raise your hand. Kathy says, how do I stay motivated and stay on track after I meet my goal weight? Well, that's a really great question, Kathy. Do you want to raise your hand and us talk? Who's got their hand raised over here? Okay, Kathy, I'll just answer your question. You stay motivated with a thought. Okay. Oh, there you are. I'm going to promote you. I can't hear you. Hang on. Okay. Hi.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh my goodness. Okay. wow.
So tell me more about your question.
Well, I have
you reached goal weight?
Okay. 6 more pounds.
Oh,
actually, I have done utterly incredible on this program. I have lost weight every single week since January 21st when I started. Oh, except for 1 week when I was on vacation, but I lost it the next week, the pound and a half. And I love it. I mean, it's perfect. It's you eat what you want and you just, you know, I mean, I love it. My nervousness is I am afraid when I reach my goal weight that I'm not going to know how to do it. When I'm not in that, okay, I'm going to lose. I'm in this, very disciplined mode, mm-hmm. even though I am eating what I want and occasionally I'll have a treat, you know, I'm nervous about it.
So what will be different when you lose your last 6 pounds, when you wake up that morning and you get on the scale and you're at your goal weight, what's going to be different?
I don't think I'll have the same motivation, even though I know it's a health thing. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes 2 years ago. I mean, my levels are great. My lab work was great. I mean, I'm 71 and I've still been losing like 2.5 pounds a week. It's just been marvelous. It's been absolutely mm-hmm. incredible, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I right from the beginning, I've been nervous about this. I think I'm just afraid that motivation will be gone, that I have to lose, quote unquote, you know,
but
that
wouldn't you just transfer that to, I really want to stay the weight I am. Therefore I don't change anything because I'm still going to follow my hunger scale. Still going to plan every day. Still going to get my sleep and my water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
I have all this evidence that the program works.
Mm-hmm.
Why would anything be different?
I don't know. I think because I have a history of failure,
mm-hmm.
you know, once I've lost weight, that I always gain it back.
So what if this time you don't have, you don't fail? You decide you're just not going to.
You're right. I have already. I've decided that,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still leery. I'm still nervous about it. So that was my.
Okay. I'm just going to tell you, you're choosing to be nervous about it when you could choose to say, I am super good at this and it's not going to throw me when I hit goal weight. Because
and I
have figured this out. Because you have. Yeah. I mean, how many, seriously, you're 71 and you've lost weight all but 1 week?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. All those people in the tribe that are going, I'm too old to lose weight, need to meet
you. I know. They need to see me. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. How much weight have you lost?
36 pounds.
36 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I really think you need to look at why you think you can lose weight well, and not keep it off, even though you won't change anything. That's the beautiful thing about this program. Everything you're doing today, you're going to do for the rest of your life.
And I know
that's how you're going to keep your weight off.
And I have told myself that, and, you know, I'm listening to things like this, the training and the podcasts, and every day I do work on it. And I think the 24-hour planning has been key, and certainly the 2+2. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. that was like, mm-hmm. that's something I've never done before.
So do you think your hunger scale signals will change when you hit goal weight?
No, I think my hunger scale is not going to change. Mm-hmm. planning it and doing the 24-hour and all that stuff, I'm just going to make myself not change that. Right.
Developing new habits and you're trusting your body. This is we don't have to accept how your body's changed. I mean, you're in high cotton because you already know what your hunger scale is. You just have to tell your brain we're going to keep doing it.
That's the key. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Maintenance is a beautiful place. I gained and lost weight many, many times. This mm-hmm. is the only program I kept my weight off with.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah. So I have no doubt you can do it too. You just have to look for evidence that you can every day. In fact, that's your assignment. Kathy gives homework.
Okay. All right.
Do you journal every day? Do you do a thought download most every day?
No.
Okay.
I do the thought downloads when I hit when I feel like I've eaten something I shouldn't have.
Okay.
But I don't.
You need to start doing gratitude thought downloads. That's your missing piece.
I took some notes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every day you need to tell yourself what went right. And what you're really good at doing. And that's going to reinforce those thoughts in your mind so that when you lose that last six, you're going to be on it. Because what you're doing now is you're focusing on everything that's going wrong. You're thought downloading when things go wrong.
True.
You're not thought downloading when things go right.
You're right. Once in a while, I'll make a little notation, but no, I'm not thought downloading. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thought download the good stuff too. That's how you tell yourself you're doing a good job. That's how you keep doing a good job.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Congratulations.
Right. Well, thank you.
I'm super excited for you.
Yeah, so am I. Thank you.
All right, Crystal, you're up.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. There you are.
A little nervous. My first Zoom, so I'm a little
nervous. Well, hi. Welcome.
I guess my question is, I have it in front of me, sorry. When I did my thought download for the self-love on day one, I think the question was, what do I think about myself? Mm-hmm. And I was trying to do the model, and I'm kind of confused on how to do it. But so my original thought was... that I'm broken and I need to fix myself. And some of that comes from, I think, my moods, because I am bipolar. So I don't know how that goes along with everything. But, and I guess the reason why I feel broken is because I lost a lot of weight in the beginning, probably like 20 pounds. And then since January to now, I've been gaining and losing the same 6 pounds.
Okay.
So I just feel like I'm stuck.
Okay. So I'm going to put gaining and losing same 6 as your circumstance.
Okay.
And your thought about that is you need to fix yourself. Is that correct?
Did I lose you?
No. Is that right? Your thought about that is you need to fix yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. When you think that thought, how does that make you feel?
Not good. I get depressed.
Okay. And when you are depressed, what do you do?
With regard to your
weight. You shut down?
I shut down.
Okay, what else?
I shut myself away from my family too. Okay, this so is not really weight related.
But. You hide. That's okay. Do you eat when you're depressed?
Sometimes it's not usually a problem with okay. that part of it.
Do you have negative self-talk? Do you talk down to yourself, beat yourself up, anything like that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And when you beat yourself up, you're probably talking not only badly about you as a person, you're talking bad about, you know, why can't I? You're talking bad about your body. You know, you're talking yes. bad about everything, right? Anything else you do yes. when you're depressed?
Well, sometimes I sleep. But, not really. Those are pretty much the main okay. things.
So I'm going to change your thought back to I'm broken. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really talking about, we're talking about the 6 pounds, but we're also talking about the bipolar disorder and whatever else you've got going on. Because the result is that you need to fix yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the model works. You have a circumstance, and in this case, it's, I'm going to put bipolar up here too. It's all the things you perceive are wrong with you. Okay. So a diagnosis, a change on the scale, anything like that can go on the C line. It can't really be I'm broken because that's a thought. Okay. That's why we put that in the thought line. When you have that thought, you get depressed and you do these things. And that results in you're not working on yourself. You need to up-level how you care for yourself. Right? Because you've shut down, you're sleeping, you're hiding, you're not caring for yourself. So that's how the model works. Does that make sense?
So on the bottom of, so there's an unintentional and an intentional. Are they different?
Yes. The unintentional model is the model that's running right now that you don't like.
Okay.
The intentional model is the model you want to work toward. Okay.
Okay.
So in the spirit of this class, you have to own and accept this model and this thought as yours from a place of not judging yourself in order to get a true intentional model.
Okay.
So if you truly believe you're broken, you're probably judging yourself, right? Because I should be better.
Yep.
I shouldn't have bipolar disorder. I shouldn't be losing and gaining the same 6 pounds. I shouldn't be acting like this, right? So you're in awareness of where you are with this thought, but you haven't moved to a place yet where you can look at it with compassion. Okay, I do think I'm broke. I do have the thought sometimes that I think I'm broken, but I really know that I'm not broken. I'm made exactly the way I'm supposed to be made. I'm unique.
Okay.
Okay, that would be acceptance. Then once you're there, that's when you can create a good intentional model. Okay?
Okay.
So just for fun, what's a thought you can think that's a little bit better about your 6 pounds and your uniqueness?
I've done it before.
Okay. I've done it before. And I guess you're talking about losing the weight, right?
Sorry.
Okay. So when you say I've done it before, how does that make you feel?
A little bit better. At the same time, it kind of feels like I don't know.
Well, I can put better here if that's what you want.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you feel a little bit better about, you know, losing the weight because you've done it before, what do you actually do?
Usually I end up taking better care of myself that week.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I go out and buy new clothes if I'm feeling good.
Do you do your plans?
Yes.
Yeah. You think about your hunger. You do your basics.
Yep.
Got the basics. Nicer. Yeah. You talk nicer to yourself.
Yep.
Right. And that result is that you're making progress. Right?
Yep.
And you're doing it again. So that's how the model works. This is the intentional model. This is the one that you want to work toward. Okay? Your thought is, I've done this before. Basically, I can do it again. You're feeling better. We could get a little bit more descriptive here, but we'll use better because that's what you said. When you feel better about, you know, the fact that you know that you've done it before and you can do it again, then you do these things and you create this result. Mm-hmm. So that's how the model works. And this is the intentional model, the one that you want to move toward. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What else you got?
So back to the six pounds though. I just feel like I'm
How long have you been stuck there?
Since January.
How's your hunger scale?
Pretty good. I think I've got it down now.
Okay. Are you planning every day?
Yes.
You're assessing every day?
I'm assessing every day. And let me go back and look at something. So one of the problems was last month I only followed it 11 days.
Ah. So
following my plans, and mostly because I don't think I'm allowing myself enough snacks. Like I wasn't putting snacks on my plan in the beginning. And then I'm still trying to get myself situated. I had my gallbladder out in February. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of still testing the food.
Yeah. But I had my gallbladder out. I remember all that. It actually, just as a sidebar, gallbladder sidebar here. your system will level out. You'll get used to not having a gallbladder. It'll be okay.
Just take a bit.
So put the snacks on your plan, but pay special attention to your hunger scale because as you lose weight, it does recalibrate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you might try leaving 3 or 4 bites behind each meal and see if that changes anything for you.
Yeah. I've been doing that a couple meals, but it's hard because I guess in my mind, I eat on a smaller plate on like a, it's not a dinner plate, it's the salad plate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in my mind, I'm already leaving the 2 bites behind because I'm not on a bigger plate. So I think I just need to maybe not do that. Because when we did the hunger scale challenge, that's what I did. And I felt like I was still hungry.
Okay.
So
just really hone in on that hunger scale. Okay. And on both sides, on the hungry side as well.
Okay.
And the water's good?
Water, I drink about 110 ounces a day. So that's...
And you're sleeping?
And I'm, well, depends. With my bipolar, I do have problems sleeping. So okay. I did buy the sleep remedy stuff that Corrine talks about, and that actually has been helping. So,
okay.
But with the full moon, I noticed that the full moon cycle really gets me with my bipolar. So it's a full moon coming up. So I know that's probably part of the problem.
You might try a bedtime routine also, like a meditation app or something like that, that focuses your brain before you go to sleep or as you go to sleep. That helps me as well. I notice I have not been diagnosed bipolar, but I notice I can tell when the full moon is based on my sleep. I think that's probably a pretty common, pretty common thing. Okay.
Yeah, I can tell the moon's coming too when the kindergartners are acting crazy. But
Yeah, pretty fitting. Work on that sleep. That might be a game changer for you too. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Got one more hand raised and we'll get out of here. Amanda, let's see what you got. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I'm at goal weight, but
congratulations.
Thank you. When I was listening to the other people talking, and I heard Crystal make the comment, I'm broken. It made me start thinking about some of the things I've been thinking about myself since I hit goal weight. And like, for example, I bought some new clothes and my husband kindly made the comment, well, by the fall, you're going to need a whole new wardrobe for the cold weather. Mm-hmm. And I immediately spit back, well, that's only if I can keep it off.
Oh,
right. And that was such a mean, like, that was mean to say about myself. And I've noticed too here in the last couple of weeks, like, I'll put part of a plan down and then I break it in the first meal. Which before I hit goal, I would put my plan and I would follow my plan with fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to think about things other than obviously hitting goal that have happened. And one of the things is my grandma made the comment that I needed to stop worrying about being healthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which,
she's allowed to have her opinion.
Yes, she is.
She's also allowed to be wrong.
Fair. so there's that kicking around in my brain. But I think just in general, I have this like lack of faith, I guess, in myself that I'll be committed to something long term.
Why? Are you, well, let me ask you this. You said you're married?
Yes.
How many years?
7.
Okay. So you know you can be committed for 7 years?
Yes.
Do you expect it'll last another 7?
I do.
Or more? Yeah.
Yeah.
So but stop telling yourself you won't be committed to yourself because you know how to, you know how to do commitment.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess too, like I was married before and divorced. And so on that piece, I have a little bit of mistrust in my ability to just stick with it.
Okay. Do you have a job?
I do. Yeah.
How long have you had your job?
This is my 14th year of teaching.
You committed to your kids? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So you know how to do commitment.
I do.
You just have to decide that you're worth committing to yourself. So how much weight have you lost?
I started at 215 and I'm at 145 now.
Okay. So do you want to weigh 215 again?
Can you see me?
Yeah.
I don't.
No. So there's your reason for staying committed to yourself. So the beautiful thing about this program is that you lost 70 pounds on it doing nothing different than you'll do the rest of your life. And it's not that hard. It's 4 basics, right?
Yeah.
It's 4 basics and commitment to yourself.
I guess that's interesting too. Like when people ask me what I'm doing and I tell them they'll say, well, that can't be it. And that track keeps running in my head. Like, is this right? That this is really working? It's so simple.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
So that's all it is. It's just continuing every day. You know, I love where I am in my body. Lotion yourself up like my friend Amber does, right? And remind yourself every day that this is exactly where I want to be. Therefore, I'm going to create a realistic plan and I'm not going to overeat. I'm going to get my water and my sleep in. It's just that easy. We want it to be so much harder and it's not.
Yeah.
Right?
It really isn't harder. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you worth committing to?
I am. Yeah, I am. I just, I need to start doing it again. I need to start mm-hmm. following my plans. And
so when, you know, listen for those thoughts, right? Hear them and then put them in that car and let them drive through the parking lot. Isn't that a great image to think about?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you can drive through. I know you're there, but you're not parking. Not today.
I will repeat that to myself tomorrow as it starts to show up.
Yeah, I used to even talk to mine. I still do sometimes. If you've listened to the podcast, you know that my indulgent emotion is self-doubt. You know, if something gets a little hard, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, right?
Yeah, right.
So I will say to myself, well, hello, self-doubt. There you are. We're not going to play today. We're just going to keep on going.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So that's because I'm in acceptance there. And so I just don't let it land.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll work on that.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Right. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody. That's it. I hope you got something out of it. And I hope it was helpful. And I will see you guys in the groups. Take care. Bye-bye.